We got Jim and Linda Sims with us this morning, and with Ethnos 360. And we talked, Jim and I talked last week, and he's got some exciting stuff that's going on. Why don't you jump in and tell us what, first of all, a little bit about what Ethnos is, and then you can tell us more, tell everybody about the helicopter.
Okay. Ethnos 360 is an international evangelical mission with the vision of taking, presenting the gospel to unreached people groups. And the theme is a thriving church for every people. And that's basically what we do. It is an international mission, and I think we have like 20, 23 different countries that we work in. So that's the theme. One of the things that brings us to our ministry is the fact that many of these unreached people groups are in some of the most remote places, literally on the earth. These are places that you can't get to unless you have some form of aviation asset. So that's what makes our ministry critical to the church planning teams, because they're prepared. They understand what they need to do, but for them to do it, they have to be in the tribe there working with the people. And for the most part, the only way that some of these people can get in there is like a helicopter. So these are, it's hard to imagine that you've got these people that are isolated. They have no roads. There's no road. There's no river, no stream to navigate on. There's no airport close because they're in the mountains. So that means a slippery, very dangerous trail that these people walk on all the time, and they do it well. Average person will have a hard time. I walked on one of these trails, and I couldn't. This was a couple of years ago. What I took a family in, and they wanted to go back and see what these trails look like. And it rains all the time. New Guinea has an average rainfall of about 144 inches a year. So you can imagine, these trails are always wet. There's roots coming out, and some of them in the mountains, you know how our engineers, they'll take the route of least resistance when we're building highways and stuff, but that's usually along the edge of a ridge or something. And so if you fall on some of these trails, you can just be in real trouble. You're going to go down the hill. So it's just so important. Our mission is just the aviation part is just to be able to get these folks in there so that they can learn the language, learn the culture, and present the gospel to them in their own mother tongue, which is just a huge deal. So that's kind of what we do. And so, of course, we lived in New Guinea. We went in 1988, and we took our three boys with us. And we lived on an island of West New Britain. That was our first assignment. And that's where we started. It's an island off to the east of what we call the mainland, which is the big island. And just some of the folks that are older can identify with this. The island of the city of Rabaul, that's where the Japanese during World War II had a huge stronghold, and we were in the middle of that island. So there's a lot of history there. And even some of the airstrips that we use were old airstrips during World War II. Was the basis of it. Most of them were not, had to just be carved right out of the jungle. So it's an amazing thing to see some of these locations that we flew into. You've heard the way some people identify this. We'll be flying along, and I'll say, well, that's the airstrip up there, and they're looking, they're going, where is it? And I'm saying, you see that little slice? And they said, yeah, it's what, of course, it looks like they identified as a postage stamp. So we're landing in some really interesting places, particularly with the fixed wing and the helicopter. You've got a little less restriction. So I think the biggest thing that's going on with our mission now is in New Guinea, it's probably been about 5 years ago, the leadership came to us and said, we're going to get about 10 new families. And of these 10 families, probably 8 of them are going to go into some of these really remote regions. And so that was, as we say, that was a hint to the wise. We needed to be ready to go and support them. So we started thinking about it. We had one helicopter. It was a much older helicopter. At the time we had that, this helicopter was, of course, we had bought it, was used. It was over 40 years old. And so, that doesn't mean that it doesn't fly, but what it does mean is when you have older equipment, then you have a lot of maintenance. And in this particular case, it was unscheduled maintenance, which is your worst fear, because you plan a trip to take some missionaries out. And the next thing you know, the pilot comes in and says, look, we've got an issue here. And then the trip is off. And if you don't have, we only had one helicopter. So leadership sat down and said, you know what, we need to think short term, long term. The short term is we have one helicopter and it's not going to get the job done. We're going to trust the Lord to supply us with what we need. And it sounds very aggressive to ask the Lord for 3 brand new helicopters. Now, the reason we wanted to have new helicopters, we always bought used because they're just because of the price and that sort of thing. But the reason we would go with new is this helicopter, this Robinson R-66 was a relative new helicopter. So when you certify a new airplane or a helicopter, you tell the FAA, this is what we have planned. This is what it was designed to do. This is what the expectation is, that it will do certain speeds. And then particularly in our case is, we can lift so much on the external cargo hook that's underneath the helicopter. Well, for us, that's a huge thing, because when these tribes, and one of them we'll be talking about a little bit, it's called the QU. The QU is a new tribe that we're going to be working with. And to do that, usually there are 3 families that will move in at one time. And to do that, you're going to have to take the materials in for 3 families, for 3 houses. And these helicopters are not the big helicopters like the Army has, the big Chinook helicopters. These are smaller helicopters. So we had some limitations there. But when this helicopter was certified, it was certified with a certain amount of tonnage that it would fit underneath. But you have the privilege, once you certify an aircraft, that you can go back to the FAA and say, look, we have supporting data that allows us to increase the amount on the external hook. And so what we're asking for is an extension of 200 pounds that this helicopter will actually lift. So the FAA looked at the data. They agreed with us and said, you know what, we're okay with that. So they approved it. So you've got the production line there in California. So at some point, with a certain serial number, they said, anything past this serial number that's produced will have the privilege of the extra 200 pounds on the hook. So every R-66 that we have that's new is in that group of people with an aircraft with the additional 200 pounds. So that's why we went with new helicopters. So the project started in 2019. In December of 2019, the first gift was given in January of 2020. And the Lord has been so faithful and so amazing. People have embraced this project, and of course it wasn't just one helicopter or two. The project was three new R-66 helicopters. So as we know, looking back, the first one is already in New Guinea, and that's the one that our son Stuart's flying, and it's doing a great job over there. So the second helicopter was ordered, and then the COVID hit right in the middle of that, slowed production down. So we got it considerably later than we had hoped for, but we finally did get it. And so on May the 8th, that helicopter left. It left Long Beach, California, the port there, for New Guinea. And I'm saying Long Beach, I'm just telling you, I don't know if you guys watched the news last night. They're getting ready for a worker strike on all the ports. Long Beach port shut down yesterday so they can get a working agreement. So God's timing is always perfect, as we know. So that helicopter got out. And the interesting thing is, we've never done this before. We can track the ship that the helicopter's on. It's in a 40-foot container. It's on a ship called the Cap Jervis. And Julie, we went through this thing, and have you guys looked at it recently?
I have not. No, is it now?
I looked at it last night. It's in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh wow!
Yes. So it left. This is a ship. It's a container ship based out of Singapore, and it does a lot of island and smaller. It's not a huge container ship like they ship all the cars and stuff. Those typically go out of Los Angeles Harbor, and I'm so glad it went out of Long Beach because it's a much smaller port with less complications. So we tracked it. It left for New Zealand. It went from Long Beach to New Zealand. Then it went from New Zealand to Botany Bay, Australia. I don't know if you guys remember from history, Captain Cook, when he did all of his exploration with the ships. That's one of the ports that he went into. He's probably found Botany Bay. Well, it's a port. It looks like it's well protected. It looks like a really nice situation. It's just a natural port. So it went to Botany Bay, and we're thinking, okay, well, maybe it's going to come out and head to New Guinea. It's like, not so fast. It went from Botany Bay. It went down around to Melbourne, which is in a different direction. And now we checked this morning. It's going to go to a small port in northern New Zealand again. It's going to go back. So apparently this ship, it's a smaller ship, and it serves some of the smaller ports. So but ultimately it's supposed to arrive in New Guinea on the 2nd of July. That's the projected time. So that will be a huge thing. We'll have, for the first time, we'll have backup. We'll have two helicopters and two pilots to be able to fly them. And of course, the excellent news, and just we're thankful that the Lord has supplied, but the money came for the third helicopter in February of this year. So the Lord has provided all the money for three brand new helicopters. The third one has been ordered, and it was ordered during the COVID slowdown, and they said, because we are having trouble getting materials, you're not going to take delivery of this till probably December of this year at the earliest, or maybe the first quarter of 24. So it's exciting to see what God's done and how he's done it. One of the things, because we work with tribal people, Trinity, you guys just need to remember, as you know, we've been doing this a long time. We started in 1988, and we flew in some of the first materials for a number of these tribes. We got started at the beginning. And so the Lord in His faithfulness has helped these tribal churches develop. And now we have tribal churches that are functioning. These are not just churches where the guys go and have church at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and everybody leaves. That's not the kind of churches. These are real, absolute churches with leadership from within. All the deacons and the elders are in these churches, or within the church. So it's just exciting. Stuart will tell you a little bit later if you guys have a Zoom call with him. He'll elaborate on this a little bit more, but a record-breaking thing happened in April. Some of the guys, the leadership from the CPIC, which is on the mainland there, they said, we would like to have a conference of as many church leaders as we can across New Guinea. And if you can help us get there with the airplanes, we'll take care of everything else. We'll organize it. We'll do all of it. But we need some help getting everybody there. Well, the Kodiak airplane, that's our fixed wing, and we have three of those in New Guinea. So they set up, and it was going into a strip called Yembe Yembe. A lot of their names are two names. So it's Yembe Yembe. They have an airstrip, and they're the church. It's a fairly new church. And what's interesting, guys, about this is one of the missionary families that was very instrumental in establishing the Yembe Yembe church, he was in the school at Numanoi there, and I used to fly him on the school flights. And now he comes back with a wife and three children and with two partners. They presented the gospel to these people, and they're still working on the translation. So we have a lot of second generation missionaries. You know, you guys are supporting two of them. Ben and Missy, and Jason and Tammy, these are second generation. And you got two second generation pilots. There's just a lot of these guys that are second generation. So they flew them in, and they had a conference. There were 200 people from 15 different language groups. That's almost unheard of. Now, 50 years ago, and even when we started 30 years ago, this wouldn't have been possible for two reasons. First of all, we wouldn't have had been able to supply them with the Kodiak. But these guys, these are warring tribes. These guys, you don't go into somebody else's neighborhood and do this stuff. So God has done a real work in the heart of these people. But they have 15 different language groups, and they did all the organizing and whatever, which is amazing. It's exciting to see that.
That's great. Well, how are Stuart and Bryn doing?
They're doing fine. They've been fighting a cold. With four children, you know how you can pass a cold from one to the next, and by the time you think you're just about to get on top of it, it comes back again. So it's school is out. School's out, and it'll be out for about 2 months. It'll start back in kind of about the first or second week of August. It's a short break. But school's out. They've had graduation from the school. And so that leaves Bryn now with four children instead of two, because two of them are in school. But I think they're doing well. So that's kind of exciting.
That's great. That's great. Well, I know they were thankful to get over there and get settled.
Yeah. One of the other things, it's not just in on the Big Island. In the island of West New Britain where we used to live, We did groundbreaking stuff. Like when we started, we took the initial stuff in for a number of tribes there. And these tribes are, the language group is kind of interesting. The language groups in the island seems to be a little less structured and it's a little easier to learn. Some of these highlands languages are really difficult. So, it was nice to see, you know, to be on the groundbreaking part, but a lot of these tribes are still operating, and they just had a conference where they had seven different tribes got together in West New Britain. And the interesting thing from a church planning standpoint and from to assess whether, you know, whether the strength of these churches, they just had a helicopter, trip around the island, and they would visit different tribes, and they would sit down with the leaders and they would say, okay, you know, how is the church doing? What are you doing in this area? How are we developing? And then they have a really mature approach about how, you know, where is Jesus in all of this? Where this is what it's all about, and how, you know, what are we doing about developing new leadership? How are we approaching that? What is the church? How is it structured so that we are teaching these people what they need to learn so that they can worship Jesus in a way that's meaningful? And, so it was exciting to see that. And, but one of the interesting things that came out in this survey, particularly in New Guinea, was about there's the young people. We don't think about the young people. You know, when we went in, there's a lot of older people. Now you understand these guys, when we go into these tribes, they don't read and they don't write. And their language is never written down. Nobody's ever recorded the language. It's just passed on from one generation to the next. So these people, not only are we presenting the gospel, but we're teaching them, we do literacy in these tribes, teaching them how to read and write their own language. And then, so when they get a translation, they can actually read it, just like we have the privilege of reading. But it'll be in their own language, not in the trade language, not in the pidgin English. So one of the things that really came out in this survey was that almost 50% of the church members are young people. So a lot of the older people, this is very different for them because they grew up in a spirit world. So it's hard to imagine, Jesus and what we know about him and his characteristics and his attributes and whatever. This is very, very different for the older people. The younger guys, they just seem to understand, have an easier way of understanding what that looked like. And so this church, the church planners, they just said, look, if 50% roughly of the new church members are young people, we need to make sure that we are addressing that issue, you know, that we're taking care of them and we're teaching them in a way that's going to be meaningful. So that was pretty exciting to see them do that. So one of the things that for you guys at Trinity, you have had a large part in a lot of this. And even though we lived in West New Britain for the first 3 years, as pilots, we're checked out in all of the regions, no matter where we live. Like, I lived in Hoskins, but when we came over to do the school flights, I would fly into the CPIC groups there. So Trinity is, handprint is all over New Guinea. There's no tribes, basically, from way back, that your fingerprint is not on their tribe and be a part of it. So, as an extension of Trinity, you were there, you just didn't get to see it. So,
we've been able to partner with y'all over there.
Well, we had the privilege of seeing it and being a part of it, but we're an extension of Trinity, and that's, if you guys hadn't supported us in the way that you did, it wouldn't have been possible for us to be there. And so that's really the story in a nutshell. we're all in this together, but we were an extension of Trinity, and you were there. You just didn't get to see it.
Well, does anybody around the table have any questions?
Yes. What's the average cost for a helicopter, please?
What was the question again?
How much does a helicopter cost generally?
If you buy a brand new helicopter, it's around $1.2 million.
Okay.
The project that we asked the Lord to take on for us was about $4.3 million. And
wow.
The people, it was just amazing. People loved giving to this project. You know, not everybody loves to give. I mean, they give because we need to give, but sometimes it's just exciting to think about, hey, we're giving to a brand new helicopter that's going to go into a really primitive environment, taking the gospel of people who have never once heard the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's just exciting. Somehow or other, that has a real pull, and people really gave to this project. We had a lot of small gifts. We had some average gifts, but it's, you know, my main responsibility is forming partnerships with our financial partners. And so every morning I check the first thing, I check our software, and I know who has given the gifts, you know, and, there are two of us that work with this. I do some of the larger donors. We have what we call a filter. So gifts that come in between a certain amount and a certain amount, that's what I do. And then he does the others. And it wasn't unusual at all, in a week to have $2,000 and $3,000 gifts. These are from people, you know, just, and one of the nice things that happened from the IRS standpoint, I'm sure you guys are aware of that, people are doing deferred IRA gifts to us. And that's been a huge deal. We've had a lot of deferred IRS gifts coming that way. But people also gave large gifts. Some of these people would give, you know, we've had $20,000 gifts, $30,000 gifts. Just amazing how God has raised up these people to be a part of this.
That's great. That's good.
What about, Linda, your health?
Yeah. We're still kicking. Doing pretty well.
Okay. Good to hear that.
Yes, ahead of it. Yeah. Trying to keep him going.
We're in the process. We've done this over a period of about 4 years. Linda's had some issues with her veins, and we're just blessed. We have a doctor that specializes in the kind of treatment that Linda needs. He's one of the groundbreaking doctors in the whole United States to do what he's doing. And so several years ago, we did this. They don't strip veins out. It's a new technique where it's a foam. It's a special foam. They inject the foam into the vein. It kills the vein. They only work in sections of about 6 to 8 inches, 10 inches, I think, is the max. It kills the vein. And because the valves are not good, we have one-way valves in our veins that, because the blood's pumping our, as the heart's pumping our blood up, sometimes if we go not doing a lot of exercise or whatever, the blood will try to go back down. And when it does, these veins, just the valves, the one-way valves close down. As we get older, the valves don't work as well, and the veins kind of expand. So this is the amazing thing. You know, in Scripture it talks about we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I said, Doc, I'm going to ask you this. I said, this might be a crazy question, but you're killing part of a vein where the blood goes up and back. And I said, so where does that blood go when it gets there? And he looked at me. He says, Jim, it just finds another way to get to the heart. I said, Well, that's a little over my head, but it's just amazing how all that works. So we're starting a regiment here of doing, we've done the first one here, 2 weeks ago. We have 3 more to do in this thing. And so we're just trusting that that's going to go well.
We definitely pray for that. That's great. That's amazing what they can do medically now.
It is.
Anybody else have any questions around the table? All right, well, we might just go to a time of prayer and pray for y'all.
Sure.
Bobby, you want to start? I'll close us out. Anybody that wants to pray.
I'm glad to.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you this day and this morning to spend time with Jim and Linda and for the many years that they've been involved in this ministry and really connected through Trinity. And I just thank you for that. And then think about how their family has gotten involved and Stuart now being a pilot. And you mentioned these other second generation missionaries. I think we support one of those. Lord, Papua New Guinea just amazes me that the years that have gone on there and the tribes that have been reached, but Lord, the many more tribes that need to be reached and have new tribes, and now Ethnos is continuing to do that work. And young people are continuing to go to people that never have heard the name of Jesus, and that is just so unusual for us, and it's hard for me to believe we still have people in the world that don't have a written language, but we do, and these are the ones that need to know Jesus, just like all the rest of us do. But, Lord, we thank you for this work, and thank you for making these 3 new helicopters available and being able to expand the work and go to places that, Lord, that you just normally can't go. So what a blessing it is. And again, thank you for Jim and Linda and their time there. I lift up Linda and her health, and I pray that these procedures will be successful and help her to continue many more years, and Jim also. So it's such an encouragement to me to see the ministry go on with older people, yet you bringing in many young people. And as he mentioned, that reaching out to these tribes with young people, being able to minister to them. So, Lord, it's always such an encouragement for me just to hear about our missionaries and what they're doing, and again, hearing from Jim and Linda and what's going on there. So I pray that you would give them encouragement, give them strength, give them good health, and Lord, let them continue to do the work that they have been doing for years. And I pray this in Christ's name.
Dear God, Father, I give thanks to thee and praise thy name for this sweet couple, Mr. Jim, Ms. Linda, for their devotion, dedication to serve you and serve your children in such environment. Father, we pray through your own name, Jehovah Jireh, to generously to release the flooding in heaven for the financial resources to continually to stir up people's hearts, to raise more finance, to purchase more new helicopters, to reach out new tracks. But Father, we pray you will make this possible. Father, even at Trinity, if it is your will, please stir our hearts to be generous, to give into the ministry. Thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, God, we do praise you this morning, and thank you so much for the time to connect with the Sims, and thank you for what all you've done in their lives and are doing in New Guinea. Lord, I praise you for these leaders, church leaders who gathered together to worship you and to learn about you. And Lord, I do think of all the barriers that you've broken down. And God, we just pray that that will continue, that the gospel will go forth to each tribe in a deeper way and then to more and more tribes, Lord, that every tongue might confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank you for the work that you are doing there, and for networking of these leaders, and just continue to pour out your Holy Spirit and draw them closer to you and closer to one another, and to be able to meet the needs of older people and younger people, Lord. Just give them wisdom and as well as all the provisions needed. In Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and talk with Jim and Linda. Lord, we thank you for the technology that we have to connect with them. Lord, we just ask that you continue to be with the helicopter on the cargo ship and the long trip that it's made and still has to make. Lord, we just pray that you would protect that. And as it gets there, the hurdles and the paperwork that it will need to go into getting it up and working and the training, we just pray that you continue to be with the pilots and their safety as they continue to take supplies out to the missionaries in the bush, Lord. We just lift up the people that the helicopters are serving, Lord. We lift up their language learning and their relationships with the people there, Lord. We can't imagine how hard it is to learn the language and then to write it down and then to translate your word. But we just ask that you swiftly help them do that and give them perseverance. We, again, thank you for Jim and Linda and their lifetime of service to you, Lord. We just ask that you continue to bless them and hold them up and keep Linda in your hands, Lord, as she goes through these medical treatments, Lord. And we ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.